You know, sometimes we take it for granted just how blessed we are. We really do. You know, Phil and I were just talking last night about, you know, 30 years ago, how far, you know, we all love to say we hate technology. Oh, the computers this, computers that, you know, and how, oh, I wish we had the good old days. You know, and Phil and I were talking about that. You know, 30 years ago, how many of you in your families actually had a four-wheel drive vehicle? One, two, three. Farmers, right? The majority of them. I don't think your family was farmers, but you had four-wheel drive. But the majority of us did not. So when it starts snowing, what happens? I remember spending more time in the ditch than I did driving down the road. Today, how many of you have a four-wheel drive? See what technology has done? It's made, one, made them affordable. But now we can go to church. You know, I stand in amazement when I just think of getting, although I did learn a lesson this morning about parking on the hill in front of my barn. Gasoline has a tendency to run to it, so it wants to be level. It runs to the front of the tank. And if your tank's not full, you don't have no fuel at your fuel pump. So I'm sitting on a hill. My truck ran out of gas sitting on a hill because it's all in the front of the tank. Lesson learned. I probably should. Yeah, but anyhow, but you know, that's just something we have to be thankful for and grateful for. As I was driving in this morning, you know, snow plows hadn't even been out. I did pass one, finally, but coming into town, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Oh, and you know, and well, you know, even if you don't have four-wheel drive, more than likely you've got front-wheel drive. And before I had four-wheel drive, I would rather have a front-wheel drive in the snow. Ice, you can forget it. But the snow, people say, well, don't you need four-wheel drive? No, I got front-wheel drive. I can get through anything. But you know what? We've become a nation of not thanking God for anything. We just like to mope and complain about what we don't have. You know, and the truth of the matter is, it usually takes a catastrophe for us to remember to thank Him and be grateful, doesn't it? So this morning, I want you to thank God you could be here. You know, I was driving down the road this morning, you know, and it's just dumping the snow down. And I just, you know, passing these little tiny cars, you know, they're front wheel drive, so they're getting along, but I go by them and I was thinking, oh Lord, you know, how many people are expecting me to call off service because it's snowing? We're in Ohio. And then I had to remember my brothers and sisters who are in Russia and Siberia and countries where the roads, this is a good road for them because they don't clear them like we do. And yet they go to church. They wouldn't think twice. Now, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday morning, yeah, I canceled it because it was extremely cold. And I'm not going to sit here and say, well, we need to have church so that you can bring your little babies out. You know, if it wasn't but for two in this congregation, that's why I did it. I can suck up the cold. It was warm in here. But I had to think about all the little, you know, I know Kyle and Clint and Brooke are good drivers and such. But it's not a chance I'm willing to take. I'm terrible at gambling. You rarely win. So, you know, we can thank God for the things that we have, okay? All right, well, this morning, I'm going to do a message on everybody's favorite subject. Everybody loves hearing me preach on this. But I'm going to do this message different than I've ever done it before. We're going to talk about tithing this morning. I'm going to show you something God showed me a while back about tithing. We've always looked at tithing as just being about finances, about money. It's about the money, 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 money. That's all anybody, I guarantee you, people are sitting here thinking. There's at least a couple of you. In your mind, you're thinking, oh, great, here we go talking about money again. You know what? tithing was never originally about money. It wasn't. You didn't bring money to God. God has no need of money. That is why, you know, people can say all they want about money. Money's the root of all evil. Jesus said it's a root of all evils. It's one of them. But the truth of the matter is, Lucifer did not fall from heaven for gold and diamonds. He was covered in that. He was a glorious being who stood before God. He walked in the coals in the presence of God. But tithing goes far beyond that. And unfortunately today, tithing is something the body of Christ can't seem to fully grasp. We've got some churches, they teach tithing religiously every time the offering is taken up. Now, I Angela pointed out that maybe from time to time I should, because we get people in here who don't know. You know, I just assume everybody comes in knowing about tithing. And the truth of the matter is, they don't. I had heard many, many messages about tithing, and pretty much it got down to a point of being a religious practice. And even though benefits were explained to me, it's like, okay, God, this does not seem, I don't fully understand why still. And there are still those who stand against what God has said. They preach from their pulpits. Tithing isn't scriptural. It's Old Testament. By the way, the book of Hebrews is written in the New Testament. But I want to show you something today, folks. Tithing is not Old Testament. It's not New Testament. Tithing is God. Period. Because I'm going to tell you right now, sitting in here, there are people all over with proven results in their lives of what tithing does. Oh, but Pastor, I'm getting along just fine without tithing. You are for now. You are for now. I'm not here to, well, I guess maybe I am here. I'm here to open your eyes to what you need to know about tithing. And even if you've been a tither, a faithful tither, for your entire Christian life, I want you to understand why you do it, what benefit it really is to you as a believer. The principle of tithing was even before Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of his belongings. Tithing was also a custom in those parts of the world during these times. That's part of the message that's been missed. Tithing was a custom. What Abraham did for Melchizedek had nothing to do with the fact that Melchizedek was a high priest to God. Everybody that I've ever heard likes to point that out, that he was a high priest, he was king. But the truth of the matter is, it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the fact he was king. And it was a custom that when you came into a kingdom, you gave the king a tithe of everything you had. Now, God had originally started the practice of tithing in the Garden of Eden. You heard me say that even last week. Man was not to touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not an option for mankind to touch it. I mean, you got to understand, God said, don't touch the tree. The leaves, the fruit, the trunk, the roots. Stay away from it. It's mine. Okay? And although I do not believe it had power, oh, let me go back, I missed some. Whether or not the fruit had a mystical power or not is not the issue. See, a lot of people teach that the fruit had a mystical power. I'm here to tell you, I personally do not believe that. I believe what it was the revelation that when they disobeyed God, the revelation came. It wasn't that, and the custom is, it was an apple. If you listen to doctors and dietitians today, they'll tell you that an apple is one of the most perfect fruits there is. That's why the old saying came out, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. Because of how perfect the fruit is. Adam and Eve saw that this fruit was good for eating. And they tasted it, and they knew it was good. You get hold of a good, juicy apple, you just want to eat more. And then later when your belly tells you you overdid it, and then you stay away from them for a while. We had an apple orchard growing up, and boy, we couldn't wait till those apples got about that big around. Oh, they were green. Oh, we had diarrhea all summer. Because the grapes came on too. And we loved those sour grapes. You know, lock your jaw up. So the fruit itself did not hold a mystical power, but what it was a revelation that came when they took what belonged to God. This tree represented honor to the creator of the universe. It was something God said was his and not to be treated as common. That's why he said, I don't want you touching it. One tree, folks, that's all it was. One tree out of all of the fruit that God had put on trees. He said, do not touch this one. Now, some people believe that God would have eventually given man the revelation of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody lose a little hairpin with a diamond on it, that yours? I don't know. Man never had a purpose for knowing good and evil. There are so many things that God had no purpose for man to ever know, but yet we know. Yeah, I believe if God had wanted man to know what evil was, he'd have created man with that knowledge. Because man had the knowledge of how to talk, how to think. The Bible says that God brought all the animals to Adam and Adam named them. So Adam wasn't an idiot. He became one. You become an idiot when you cross God. When you think you can take on the Creator. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, and all the tithe of the land. Now this is the law. God is making tithing law at this point for Israel. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It's God's. It is holy to the Lord. He told us two things. It's mine and it's holy. It's to be set apart. Do you understand the tithe was not brought in at the same time the offerings were in this day? It was set apart. When I pay my bills, the first thing even in my budget is my tithe. My tithe is the top of the budget. And then I come down. My check for my tithe is the first thing. I treat it as the first fruits. Because we don't have first fruits. Okay? Unless you've got a garden or you make your living through agriculture, you do not have first fruits per se. Because if you just read what he said, the seed and the fruits, this was grain, this was food. That's why God said that there may be meat in my storehouse. In my house, that there may be food. Because God brought this about so that the Israelites who took care, the Levites who took care of the temple and all the worship service, they could focus their time on keeping the buildings and the grounds fixed up and worship. They didn't have to go out and try to figure out how they were going to keep their family clothed, how they were going to keep their family fed. That's why God did this. Because otherwise, when you've got to try to figure out how you do this, you're split. Trust me, it's difficult to do. The tithe was not a sin offering. It was not a building fund offering. It was holy. There was one time that God pointed it out to Israel that they hadn't been bringing in the tithe, and the people began to tithe, that the very next time it took them 3 months to receive the tithe. Do you understand what God did? He proved to Israel, my word is true. Trust me in this. It belonged to God. It has never belonged to man. You are a steward of the tithe. That's it. Genesis 14, 19 through 21, or 20, I should say. And he blessed him. This is Melchizedek. Now remember, Abraham, at this point still Abram, he has gone and he's brought back Lot and all the belongings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he's coming back through, he's passing through the region of Salem. And there was a king in Salem. His name was Melchizedek. He was also a high priest to the Most High God. Now, like I said, most people try to teach you that he brought that because he was the high priest. But the truth of the matter is, he brought him a tithe of what he had because he was passing through this king's territory. And when you brought your tithe to the king in his territory, the king was now obligated to protect you. You were under his protection. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." And it says, and Abraham gave him a tithe of all that he had. Even though Abraham was out there on somebody else's business, if it hadn't been for Lot, Abraham could have cared less. But because of his family, Abraham went out and he passed through a land. Now, regardless of who you believe Melchizedek was, some people try to teach that he was Jesus Christ. Wrong. Melchizedek was a flesh and blood man. He was not the son of God. He was a king. There is a little book called the Book of, it's Jasher, isn't it? That reveals that Melchizedek was one of the sons of Noah, Shem, the only one who actually served God. Now you can claim all you want that it does not, that he was not, he was still alive. Doesn't that blow your mind? That's why I started trying to do a timeline. It blows my mind how old these guys were. Shem, son of Noah, knew Abraham. And if I remember right, knew Isaac. He knew them. Great, great, greats. They knew each other. That blows our mind, man. If we're fortunate enough to have a great grandparent still alive, we're like, wow. You got to understand, we're talking like five greats. So he wasn't bringing it to him because he was family. He brought it to him because he was the king of that region. And as such, he was passing through his territory. So he gave him, the word tithe, by the way, means 10. It is a tenth. Now you may say, well, why did God choose the word tenth? To God, the word 10, the number 10 represents redemption. Number 10 is redemption. It redeems the other 90%. One of the things Angela and I learned, I'll be honest with you, when even after I'd gave my heart back to the Lord, I did not fully understand tithe. I still tried to do it under my regulations, you know what I'm saying? Well, do I tithe on my net or do I tithe on my gross? Well, Jesus answered that real simply. Whose image is on the money? Okay, it's the government's. Give the government what belongs to them and give God what belongs to God. God, first fruits. Now, you can't take first fruits, can you? 99% of us in here have no control over what comes out of our checks. But we can control what check we write first. So, to answer your question, the gross. It's what you pay taxes on. Trust me. It works. I tried the other game. God, okay, then when I get my tax return, what do I tithe off of that? Well, let me tell you something. If you tithe off the gross, you don't owe anything on your tax return. You've already paid the tithe on it. I lost place. I think too many times we've tried to over-spiritualize what was done with Melchizedek. The truth of the matter is, it was an honor to that man. This king just happened to serve Almighty God and was able to profess upon Abraham the blessing of God. When Abraham went to Egypt and even to Philistia, he gave those kings a tithe as well. These tithes were an honor to that king, and by this custom you now fell under the protection of that king, and he was obligated to protect you and your belongings. He's obligated to enforce his law because you are not his subject. But by honoring him, you say, while I am here, I will honor you as a subject. And as a subject, you will honor me with your laws and you will protect me. When Abraham, here we go. Otherwise, you were on your own and thieves and unscrupulous business dealings could rob you. And there was nothing he was required to do. If you had not given the king a tithe, he was not obligated to bring those who had wronged you to justice. But if you had, he would send his army to those who had crossed his covenant with you. Another word that is the truth. Tithing is a covenant with God. Tithing with Abraham and Melchizedek, Abraham and Pharaoh, Abraham and the king of the Philistines, he had a covenant with them. And this covenant protected him while he was in their land. And not only would he get back what belonged to you, he would take what that person had and give it to you as part of the restoration. Now are you starting to understand some things? See, the truth of the matter is, the mafia is not totally wrong in what in their idea. It's just how they go about it. They force you to give them a tithe. But the same concept, that's why he is called a godfather. The Italians didn't come up with this. God did. But he doesn't say, I'm going to force you to do it. He says, you're on your own. You want to play Russian roulette with a loaded gun, go ahead. You will lose. However, if you choose to honor me, I'll make sure the barrels are empty. I will look out after you. And even if somebody does come up and steal your donkeys, I will not rest until I have brought my army in and my army has taken everything they've got and destroyed them because they dare cross my covenant with you. And I will restore what they stole from you plus everything they had in their possession. By the way, that happened to Abraham in Egypt. It was something that had happened to Abraham. By the way, there was... I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Now, in both cases with Abraham, the kings had seen Sarah and both wanted her to be his wife. But what did he tell them? She's my sister. He technically, in that day, was not lying. She was his niece. A little weird for us. When they took her, even though Abraham had not been exactly honest about his relationship to her, God got involved because of his relationship with Abraham. And in both cases, God told the kings, I'm going to utterly destroy you. They understood what God was talking about. And in both cases, these men were near to, God was near to destroying those kingdoms. But I believe he did not destroy them was because they had not acted maliciously, but acted on false information from Abraham. Regardless of why, both kings restored Sarah to her rightful place and blessed Abraham with gold, silver, and even servants. The king of Egypt even gave Sarah one of his own daughters by a concubine to be her personal handmaiden. Her name was Hagar. You need to understand that about Hagar. Remember, you know who Hagar is, right? The handmaiden Abraham knocked up and created Ishmael. Which would later come back to bite him. But you need to understand, Hagar was not just simply some ragged old servant. She was a daughter of the king. And as a daughter of the king, she was treated with kid gloves. Her skin was soft. She smelled good. She looked good. She knew how to act. So tithing is more about a relationship. Keep in mind, in the very beginning, it was a tree. One tree with fruit on it. We'll call it an apple tree for argument's sake. One lousy tree. That doesn't seem that hard. Except man's greed, man's lust for what is not his. He couldn't keep his hands off of it. It is about honoring those who are in a place of honor. Those with the power to bring down wrath on you or blessing on you. See, we as Americans, we have a real difficult time in this real, in truly honor. And truly honoring those. And honestly, it's passing throughout this entire earth like you wouldn't believe. But we cannot properly honor those in those positions. We got to speak our mind. Freedom of speech. There's a time to speak your mind. There's a time to keep your trap shut. Well, that sounds like the coward's way out to me. You know what? I'd rather be called a coward and live to fight another day than to be standing there running my pie hole and then put a bullet in my head because I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to bow down to the government and worship the government. But God has not made me a martyr. For some reason, again, that's another sick thing the body of Christ has in its head. Oh, I got to be a martyr. Laying down your life is not all about dying physically. But yeah, we're getting a bit away from the subject. Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going. Remember, he's leaving his father's house. He's running away from his ferocious brother, the one who smells like a goat. He's running for his life. He's had a vision. He laid his head down. He had this dream of a ladder and angels passing over it. And this is the vow he made when he woke up, that if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. In other words, if God will prosper me, if God will bless me. If, okay, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. He even put a stipulation on this. Then the Lord shall be my God. I never saw that until a couple weeks ago and I was like, I better hold that right there. He said, then the Lord shall be my God. What did he just say, folks? God, Jehovah, wasn't his God. It was his daddy's God. He did not have a relationship with Jehovah. He knew Jehovah through his daddy and through his grandpa. That was it. He did not know God personally. He said, then God shall be my God. So I come back then. God, the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. He understood that tithing was about relationship. It wasn't about legalism. It was about a sign of relationship. Understanding that you created me. You are my God. It's not about a legalistic issue. It is about the relationship of honoring the creator of the universe. Now, Bethel, by the way, means the house of God. Later on in the Old Testament, you'll read about the Bethel, where many prophets came from Bethel. There was a school at Bethel. There was many things about this place. The particulars to why God allowed Jacob to say this and even get away with it are God's business. It seems a little ludicrous to me to say, God, if you'll bless me beforehand and all this, I'll serve you. I don't understand that. That's a fault in my brain housing group that's not quite grasping that. But God knew why he allowed Jacob to say this and to do this. I think part of it was because he knew Jacob would honor the agreement. And by the way, Jacob would, I believe, pay for dictating this to God this way. I think if Jacob had said, you will be my God from this point on, I don't think Jacob would have got screwed out of 7 years. I don't. He served his uncle for 7 years for one woman. By the way, history has it that Rachel and Leah were twins. What was the difference? Leah had a lazy eye. That's why he didn't know the difference when they were in the tent. She looked very similar to her. You're not really going to take fire and put it inside a tent. Not of those natures. They may have had a little oil lamp, but dim light? That's probably where the dim light came in. Laban probably invented it. We think it's all romantic, but it was about deception. So guys, be leery. Those of you who are single and looking for a spouse, if she invites you in and lights are low, run. But anyhow, that's between God and Jacob, why he allowed that. But interestingly, he recognized that a relationship with God, tithing was a key part of it. Tithing was not all about finances, but again, about the relationship between man and his creator. It shows a closer walk with the creator. Can you serve God? Can you love God and not tithe? Yes, but you do not have that relationship with God that you should have. Many people knew the Pharaoh. But if they did not honor the Pharaoh was not obligated to protect them and enforce his laws on them and the people that would come against them. You come into my neighborhood, you do not honor me, and my people rob you. You chose to ignore it. Isn't that basically what the mafia says? I will protect you. This is my neighborhood, and I will protect those in my neighborhood if you honor me with your business money. Right? That's what it's always been racketeering about, protection. They don't want to work. And so they come in and they say, we will protect you. But see, they have a tendency to take more than what's due to them. But if you are paying for that protection money and somebody else comes in and says, hey, I want this. They come in and destroy your building. Do you know what they would do? I love gangster movies for that purpose. They executed justice. They would hunt those dogs down and make them regret the day they ever crossed the covenant they had with somebody else. And seeing God is saying the same thing. That's what tithing is. Oh, but I still don't believe it. You know what? I don't understand it. Won't ever claim to completely. But I understand this. You know, years ago, one of my pastors, I heard him teach this. And again, this was a point in my life where I wasn't grasping a whole lot. I was, you know, this far from jumping ship and just running. But I did hear him say this. He said, you will know that you have backslidden when you quit tithing. That's interesting. Especially at the time since I didn't have a job, so tithing wasn't an issue for me. I'd tithe when I had money. But later on, it would come to me. I'd been on my own, been receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks. Was not honoring God. And I caught this only after I had realized I don't have a relationship with God. I'm not serving God with my life. I'm doing everything that I know is wrong. I'm making a mockery of God and he's not obligated. Did God keep his hand in my life? Yes, he did. Why? Just like he did Jacob. There was a place Jacob had to get to. He had an appointed place to be at an appointed time. I had an appointed place to be at an appointed time. And God knew he had to get me from here to here. And from time to time, it might mean letting me have a bone. But other than that, it did not work out well overall. But now I can tell you, since I said, you know what? I'm done. I will tithe faithfully. I will tithe regularly. Trust me, folks. There were times that I thought it, and sometimes I even did it. God, I can't afford to tithe right now. Later, I'd learned this. I can't afford not to tithe. When I said, God, I will honor you in spite of what this, God worked everything out. There were even bills that disappeared. I rightfully owed them, but God stepped in. God rebuked the devourer for my sake. But when you refuse to tithe, I got to tell you something, folks. When we sold that house, the day we closed on it, I personally felt something lift off of that house. Because the day that happened, the garage door opener burned out. Okay, granted, it was old. It was put in probably 1957. But this thing was a horse and had worked fine for me every day. Other things started breaking. They started falling apart. Why? Because the person who now bought the house did not have a covenant with God. And the things that should have fallen apart, God had his hand on him because of a covenant that he had with me. I have seen it many other times. Sell somebody something and it breaks. What was the difference? I was a faithful tither. I had a covenant with God. And while I had that covenant, it doesn't mean that everything doesn't just runs hunky-dory. Cars never break down. Tires never go flat. There is this such a thing as Murphy's Law, that if it's mechanical and it can break, it'll break. But with God's blessing, you can get greater time out of it and much more enjoyment. All right, now we're going to go to Malachi 3. We're going to read the whole chapter, which it's really not that long. But I want to show you something, folks. I read to you out of this last week. God is saying something to his people. His people are in debt. His people are imprisoned. His people don't have a relationship with him anymore. Malachi chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." This covenant. See, God's dealing with one subject. We haven't gotten to it yet, but he's going to deal with one subject. He's talking about his covenant with them and God, between them and God. "In whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi." He's going to purify the priests, those who stand before him. I want to point out something now, ladies and gentlemen. You, because of what Jesus Christ has done with the new covenant, you have now moved beyond the outer courts and been brought into the inner courts where you can be, where the Levites were only allowed. "He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment." Uh-oh. Everybody tenses up when they hear the word that God says, "I'm coming near you for judgment." But he's not saying, "I'm coming to judge you." That's the problem of a mentality that we have about judgment. If you are evil, judgment brings about evil. Just the same as if you're driving down the road. See, we have a sin-conscious mentality anymore. You're driving down the road, you pass a state patrolman, what do you do next? You follow him in your rearview mirror. Why? Because you think you're breaking the law. You have such a sin you could even have the cruise control on. You could be going 55 right on the nose, and it's a habit because of sin consciousness about judgment. That we think that those who come to enforce the law are coming to get us because we think we're evil. But he says they will be righteous. And he says, and I will bring judgment, let's finish it, against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, and those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. And against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me. They do not honor me. They do not respect me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord. I do not change. So guess what, ladies and gentlemen? What he's saying to Israel right here stands in 2014. Because he didn't change his mind. He didn't change what he said. That a nation, that a people who will fear me, who will honor me, I will stand in judgment against those who come against them. Yet, from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, he's not as concerned about all the laws that were created about the Sabbath, about how to dress, about what to eat, what not to eat. That's not what he's concerned about. And you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. James put it this way, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, we want, oh God, draw near to me. You've got to go first, honey. You've got to take the first step. He's the creator. He's the king of the universe, not you. The king does not leave his throne to go to a servant. But rather, the servant goes to the king, and then the king comes down. Again, we don't understand this. You had to come in and honor the king first, and then the king came down. And the king would only come down if he accepted your honor. Pages are stuck. But you said, in what way shall we return? And then God replied, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed. I don't believe in curses. Well, you better start now. Because if you aren't honoring God, you're in one. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole country had taken what belonged to God. It had spread. And now even the government didn't honor God. Guess what, folks? We are probably in the most godless government. And I should say the true God that we have ever had. We give money to everything but that which is good. Even the countries that we aid are not the ones we should be aiding. Yeah, there should have been a couple more of those. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. By the way, here's the storehouse. It's where you go to worship. That's it. That's where he said to put the tithe. Nowhere else. There's a very few ministries, and the only one I can think of off the top of my head that does this, and I truly respect the man for that, is Joseph Prince. On the end of his every message, it says, we ask you not to send us your tithe. Your tithe belongs in your local assembly. How many of those places? This was something Pastor Dosek, I talked to him about it years ago, and he said, that burns me. that these ministries get on there and they will not stand for what they know what's right, but they got so many people giving them their tithe, and the local assemblies are the ones where they call for help, and they wonder why there's not enough money to do that. You know, lights don't stay on for free. We don't keep it warm for free. But yet when people send their tithe to Africa, your tithe doesn't belong in Africa. There's no meat where you go. So many churches would be so much better off. Their pastors and their leaders would be able to do what needs to be done if the tithe was just properly done. But no, that's not what we're taught. Why? Because we're greedy. Because God told us to give an offering someplace and we send our tithe. The tithe is not a substitutionary offering. The tithe belongs in the storehouse. You were required to give an offering. An offering is the seed. Everybody says, well, my offering's a seed. No, it's not. It's an honor to God. Your seed is that which you give above and beyond. Then God's obligated. Where do you think you get the seed to sow into the ground? As I'm looking around here, the only one I know that makes his living from planting seeds in fields is my father-in-law. The rest of us may have a garden or something. But you've got to do what's right with the seed. So therefore, our seed is of our income. That's why we tithe of our income. Because back in the day, even not too far out, bartering was the number one system of trade. If Richard had a bushel of apples that I wanted and I had 10 pounds of flour that he wanted, we traded. We didn't go exchange it for money and then I go buy that and then Richard comes and buys my flour. He just said, hey, that's equal value to me. If you're okay with this, we trade. So my tithe would have been actually off of my produce, of what I'm dealing with. And his the same way. That's how it's figured. But today, we do it on money because that is our exchange system. It is no longer about bartering. Okay. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Again, folks, I told you last week, this is God double dog daring you. To my knowledge, this is the only place God said you could try him. Oh, but we do it all the time, don't we? God, if you'll do this, if you make this fleece wet and the ground dry, that's trying God. Well, bless God, brother, Gideon got away with it. God, Gideon did it. Gideon was the only man in all of Israel that God could use. Of course he's not going to wipe him out. He was the only man in an entire country that God found out in the daytime grinding wheat. Why do you think he called him a mighty man of valor? But what's the first thing Gideon says? Oh, whoa, whoa, I'm the least of my house. My house is the least of my tribe. My tribe is the least of all of Israel. We're the least of these. And yet God still said, you mighty man of valor. Because he was the only one with the intestinal fortitude to be standing out in broad daylight, knowing that there were raiders waiting to find anybody dumb enough to do this. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Guess what happens when you don't have enough room to receive all your blessing? You start spreading it out. You start becoming. We are blessed to be a blessing. There's nothing wrong with putting money in savings and storing things up. It's when we hoard. We are a nation of hoarders. I think that show proves, some of these shows prove just how bad we are. You know what creates hoarders? Hard times. The hardest people to get junk from are those who went through the Depression. Oh no, we got to have this. There's something wrong in your brain housing group when you have to collect newspapers up to here and your living room is full. There's something wrong. If I will not open for the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. I will rebuke the devourer. I'll go after those who threaten you, Barbie, because you have a covenant with me, says God. And if they come after you, I will destroy them. They will not be able to dig up your seed. They will not be able to steal your grapes. They will not be able to rob you of the blessings. And that all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. America was at one time called blessed by all nations. There are still people who would rather live here in the United States than in their current countries, because we are still walking in blessing. We are still walking in blessing, not because of the evil men that are in power, but because of the body of Christ that is here. Because if God would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 people, why do we dare think that he's going to destroy the United States? Because I think there's a few more than 10 righteous sitting in here today. Okay? Those who are in power will stand accountable for what they've done. And I personally believe those who put them in power will stand for what they have done. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? For you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Let me tell you something, folks. Not everybody has received their judgment yet. I believe what we've seen in lives of many people, recent and even in the past, people who have been destroyed, falling, is because they have been risen up in pride. And that goes for the body of Christ to those who do not believe. But so many times we look at the evil and we say, God, how long? We're like David. Lord, how long until you execute justice? God has a plan. He didn't say, you'll understand my plan. He just said, if you will endure to the end, you will reap. But we've said in our mind, it's no good to tithe. It's not working. He said, hold on and trust me and be faithful in this. I think the word faithful is our hardest problem. Faithful. This country should be blessed because of the people who honor God. If we honor God, we bring honor to this country. We do not bring honor to this country when we build monuments to ourselves and call them our local assemblies. We forget that the church is the people. I like nice buildings. I like nice architecture. But I was talking to the state, one of the state building inspectors on Friday. And he said, you know what? He said, you know what gripes me the most? He's got to inspect churches too. He said, I was inspecting a church, and he says, and I'm standing there, Art, and he said, they're hanging up chandeliers that were over $1,000 a piece. They're just lights. I believe in getting good lights, but I don't believe in paying $1,000 for a stinking chandelier. Why? Because I serve the Father of all lights, and he has led me to deals like you wouldn't believe. These lights above your head, the can lights, those suckers are $100 a piece. I paid $20 for a box of 20. My God's the original Jew. And I got to tell you, folks, the places he has taken me to these blessings, I nailed them, bring them up. I've got enough lights to fill the rest of the sanctuary when we take the wall out. Why? Because it was ordained in the beginning to take that wall out. So we needed lights. Even the fans, when we went to buy the fans, we thought, we need fans. They'll move the air. Those are $300 fans sitting up there. What did we get, $50 a piece? If that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I was like, how many do you got? So we bought everything Lowe's had. God blessed. Why? Because we have been faithful in honoring Him. So you want to know, well, where's my blessings? Well, when you went to the store and your favorite cereal was on sale, 10 boxes for $10. Is that not a blessing? Oh, I don't count that. Well, then you'd better start counting it, honey, because it's the blessings that God's pouring out in your life. Well, I don't need 10 boxes. No, but maybe that mother who just walked through the door that you're complaining about being on food stamps, maybe she does. Now, we like to complain about it instead of actually doing something about it. I'm not saying God called you to be a food pantry to the poor. I'm saying there'd be no need for it if God's people would honor Him and receive the blessing that fills their life and their needs and pass on the blessings that are above and beyond anything they could ever need. I have no need of a Rolls Royce, folks. I don't. Me, myself, I cannot see it. I cannot justify it in me. When I look around and I see people in this county who are struggling to keep their houses warm right now. Oh, but it's the blessing of God in your life, Pastor. I'm supposed to pass it. I'm blessed to be a blessing, not just preach it. And if we can't pay it forward, do you know what? We have a hard time receiving. We were in the store the other day, and this elderly guy up in front of Angela, he was $2 off, $2.57 off from filling his bill. So he's sitting there trying to figure out what to take out so he could pay for his bill. And Angela just hands the woman a 10 and says, here, take it out of that. Oh, no, 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 I can't take your money. I can't. Just shut your pie hole, receive the blessing from God, and go on. Well, he finally did. We got him talked into it. He met us at the door on the outside and repaid her. He had the money in his car. It's like, why couldn't you just receive the blessing that God had blessed us with and now we were able to pay it forward? He's like, well, how can I ever repay you? And it was funny. Even the cashiers were all in on this. Pay it forward. If we would pay the blessings forward, there would be no need of welfare, folks. There's a problem. I love automation. I love technology, but there's a problem when it kills every job. We worked ourselves out of jobs. There are hardworking men and women all over this country who've been put out of business because a corporation wants more money. But you know what? This whole country has ignored God. Faster automation. We got a robot that can do the work of 10 welders now. So what are those welders supposed to be doing now? They spent 20 years of their lives breathing in that nasty stuff. We don't pay forward the blessing. We're a country. We've become a country of consumers. I dare say agriculture is the only thing we actually produce. And keep it up, and they'll try to figure out how to farm that out so that all we do is consume everybody else's. You want proof of it? We've got enough oil in this country to drive the price of gas back down to a dollar. We've got more liquid petroleum in this state. We should never be paying between $4 and $7 a gallon for LP. There's more natural gas in this state than what this whole eastern seaboard needs. But we want to use everybody else's and sell them ours. I don't know, folks. I understand the commerce and all that, but there's a problem when it drives our prices up. There's a problem. Look at Israel. They did it to themselves many, many times. They turned their back on God. They quit honoring God. Why? Because the people. You can't get the government to tithe. It just ain't going to happen. okay? It's hard enough getting those who call themselves the church to tithe. You're not going to get sinners to tithe, to honor God, even though there are some who do that. Because I wanted to point out something back here. He said that he would stand against those, against the widows and the orphans. There are billionaires who give money to organizations that take care of that. They give away more money and they just keep getting more money. We don't have it here in our house yet. Bill Gates has given away more money than he's made, and he's the richest man in the world. Gave it away. Now, not always to the things I think he should, but hey, it's his money, not mine. But if you understand the principle that God said, it's a principle. Anyhow, what profit is it we have kept his ordinance and walked as mourners? You know, Jesus kind of addressed this later on when it came to fasting. He said, when you're fasting, don't walk around moping. That was how people knew you were fasting. I'm supposed to be sad today. I'm fasting. Not on self-pity or not. Self-righteousness, I think you could fast that for a while. Your fast isn't going to do anything for you. He said, don't walk around mopey. He says, as a matter of fact, get up, shave yourself, clean yourself, anoint yourself, in other words, put deodorant and cologne on, and go about your day as if you're not even fasting. But people today think, well, we gotta give tithes, so we gotta present it, and we're so sad that we're giving 10% of our income. Man, I know every time my check goes in that bucket, God's got my back. God's got me covered. I can't tell you the blessings that God's brought about in my life. There's not enough room in this room to hold them. And if we all started letting go of what God has done in our lives, and believe me, it requires holding on and believing and trusting. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. In other words, we started sharing what God was doing to each other. That's our testimony, folks. Started sharing, this is what God has done for me. I gave God my money, and you know what he did? The money that I thought I needed to pay that bill, he canceled the bill. I've had it done. I owed the hospital like $3,000 still. 1 month, I'm like, okay, I didn't get my little payment slip. Called him up, and they said, sir, your account no longer exists. Don't know why. But you know what everybody else would want to do? I got to know why. I just got you. My OCD just kicked in. I got to know why. I don't care. I don't care why my bill doesn't exist. As long as I know who you are, I need your name so that when, if somebody comes back and says, you owe us, I can say, no, she said my bill doesn't exist anymore. I don't care why. I just care that it happened. And you know why it happened? Because I have a covenant with the creator of the universe. And I realize and I recognize him by that as being God, not just my buddy. So God heard him, he says. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. In heaven, there is a book written with you blessing God for what he has done with through the covenant that he has made with you. Every time you speak good to God, you speak about the goodness of God. The angels are sitting up there right before God, and they're writing in his book. By the way, another common practice among kings, they would write down everything that ever happened. And when a king couldn't sleep or needed to hear something, he'd have them read what was in the book. That's how Mordecai got remembered. So don't be afraid to open your mouth and thank God for what he has done. I dare say, thank him immediately when you find something that he has done in your life. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them. As a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Tithing is simply us honoring the one who gave us the abilities and opportunities to thrive on this earth. The devourer was around in Adam's time, folks. As long as Adam honored God with what God had required at that time for tithe, his work would be easy and blessed. But what happened when Adam took what belonged to God? He came down and he said, Rob, you installed windshields, you took what was mine. From this point on, your adhesive's not going to dry, and it's always going to be 4 below 0. For Rob, that would be torture. He'd never be able to do his job right. But what God told Adam was, he said, Adam, because of what you've done, the ground will no longer yield bountifully. You will work hard. Thistles and thorns will grow. And the earth will not just produce because you said it should. All the stuff, the weeds and stuff that grow in our fields and in our gardens, it's because of the curse of Adam. Because Adam took the tithe and created hard labor for the rest of us. Although I have to say that in all fairness, God has spared us. Adam lived to be over 900 years. It was 965 years old. He had to farm for 965 years and pull weeds for 965 years. We might make it to 100. And usually we're done pulling weeds before that. So God has spared us. So when man took the tithe, God now required the blood of the flocks and the first fruits of the field. If we do not honor God, he is not obligated to stand against the devourer. Tithing also reminds us that he is God and we are not. Again, as Americans, we have a very difficult time with respecting and honoring somebody above us. We don't have no king. Wow. I do. I serve King Jesus. I serve the creator of the universe. I serve the one that, even though things may not look like they're going my way, as long as I'm faithful to stand with my God and honor my God, it says he will spare me. What's he going to spare me? He's going to spare me all of the hard times that the rest of the disobedient have to go through. But you know what we do? We bless disobedience. We bless disobedience and call it grace all the time. But even though there are repercussions. I haven't escaped every speeding ticket. There's been a couple. God's grace and mercy was on me. Then there's those $200 tickets that remind you, you're still obligated to obey the laws of the land. And the city of Fort Worth is going to extract blood. If you start seeing tithing as an honor to the creator of this world and all the worlds that we're now discovering, you enter into a covenant with him. And by that covenant, he is obligated, did you hear me? Obligated to work for you. That when something comes against you, somebody may cheat you, you say, God, I turn it over to you. You said you'd rebuke the devourer. Call upon his promises. That's why he said, try me. Somebody does you wrong, you go to him. He's more than a just judge. He's a just executor. But that's not how we see God. We've reliquated God down to being our buddy alone. God the Father is not on buddy status. God the Father is King. He's the Godfather. When you approach the Godfather, you did not just walk up to Al Capone and say, yo, Al, what's going on? If you got within 20 feet of Al, he had bodyguards who would grab you, grab your arms and legs, and they would body cavity search you right on the spot. You weren't getting near him. That's why his enemies could not kill him. Why? Because he took care of those around him who faithfully served him. That's why it took the IRS, and by the way, his enemies feared him. That's why it took the IRS for tax evasion to get him. We couldn't pin any of the crimes he'd done. Because he took care of those. How much greater is your Heavenly Father? Will he not stand against those who have wronged you? Will he not bring opportunities? By the way, even though you may tithe, you are required to be faithful with what you've got left. I knew a man, he would tithe, but he refused to pay his bills. His mentality, I don't know where he got this ideology from. Okay, God, I'll give you the tithe, and the rest of the money's mine. It's not for my house payment. Not for my bills, not to pay my electricity. He lost it all. Anybody wonder why? Well, he was tithing. God should have rebuked the devourer. He was the devourer. He was stealing from himself. He had no seed left. His mind was full of deceitful practices, folks. How can I get over on the body of Christ? How can I get over on stupid people? He asked me one time, he says, I got a business proposition for you. He says, what do you think about it? This was 1999. Everybody's panicking and freaking out about Y2K. Okay? Yeah, I think about everybody in here lived through that, even if you were still in diapers or whatever. He said, what do you think? He says, I'm going to create a website and I'm going to sell Y2K survival kits for $1 a piece. And in it, I'm going to put scriptures. We're going to mail them a packet with the word. And I said, brother, you better not do that. I said, you will give God a black eye. That is deceitful, what you are doing. Oh, but I could make millions and give it to the church. God doesn't want deceitful money. I talked him out of it. But it didn't stop his scheming. And as such, like I said, he lost everything. Family included. So there is responsibility to paying your bills even if you tithe. They're your bills. You're not paying them? That's your problem, not God's. You got money, you pay what you can, and you start trusting God. And watch what God will do. But if he brings the money in your pocket and you pump it into a savings account or your IRA or whatever, you do realize the money that's not in your hand is in somebody else's? It's imaginary. All it takes is for somebody to hit delete. Your IRA is gone. All it takes is for the government to go, your dollars are worthless. Then what are you going to do? I had $100,000 in my retirement account. Had being the operative word. How about putting your faith in God? Trust God. He'll take care of you. He will take you through. Like I said, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every person in here who has been faithful to tithe and to honor God, through no means, even though there have been several over the years that have done stupid things on their jobs and lost their jobs, God still was faithful to them and brought them work. But every person in this body who has been faithful to tithe has remained employed through the downturns. God's either brought new opportunities. We've even got people in here working overtime. They'd like to not work all this overtime. It's good to see you, Miss Teresa. She's been working like a mad woman. You know, there's companies, they're working. But anyhow, so take what I said to heart. Try God. Trust Him. All but things are just hunky-dory in my life. Right now they are. For right now. There will be a time, as there is in every person's life, where the road took a turn you weren't expecting. And you got to say, okay, God. And God says, hang on a second. Let me check my book of remembrance. Oh, there you are. You have honored me faithfully. You have blessed my name. All right. Death, hell, and destruction. Your days are numbered. We're coming after you. But if you're one of those and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. You're not faithful. Matter of fact, I see where you said it's worthless to serve me, to where it's a joke, that you only do it because it's expected of you. Tell you what I'm going to do, because I've got an appointment for you to make. I'm going to make sure you're not destroyed. But that's all I'm obligated to do, is to bring about my will in your life. When you decide to get out of your rebellion and honor me, because let me tell you something, folks, when you honor God, you understand who He is. When you honor me, then I'll step in. And I'll make your enemies your footstools. You do understand, when your feet are up on a footstool, there's usually somebody rubbing it. Isn't it great to have your feet rubbed? Harold, I'm sorry, man. Sherry received that one real. When we lived over at the other house, we had the love seat right beside my recliner. And Angela loved to just lay on the love seat instead of the couch, which was three cushions long instead of two. Well, she's longer than the love seat. So she would lay with her feet over the end by the recliner. Guess where they'd go? Right here. And then she'd just wiggle her toes. You. Told her, I said, when we move, I'm putting my chair someplace where it can't be reached by your toes. Pretty good, because Jesse's been in debt knowing foot rubs, so he barters with foot rubs. He gave her coupons for 15-minute foot massages for her birthday. Those of you sons that don't know what to get your mother, just remember to honor the coupon when it is presented to you. All right, let's stand. I hope that even if you've been a faithful tither, that this helps you see you're not tithing out of a religious requirement. You are tithing out of an honor to God. It's an honor to Him to present that to Him. That is why we present it during praise and worship. Our sacrifice of praise, we give that. Because I'll tell you what, it's hard sometimes to open your mouth, especially if you were the one driving in this morning. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, take it all. So when we come in and we present that and then we bring it to God, it is holy. It is set apart. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Father. We truly do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that through your word we get revelation, not only of who you are, but of how the relationship works with you, how we can get closer to you. And Father, that the most important thing for us to remember is that you are God and we are not. Lord, help us all to remember this and to maintain that respect and that fear that we have of you. Father, not that we're afraid to come into your presence because of what Jesus Christ has done. We can boldly come before the throne of grace now. Father, help us to receive that grace, that mercy. And Father, in our times past when we have been faithless, Father, that to know that we are forgiven and it's there for the asking. So Father, move now in our lives. Lord God, I pray for each and every person in here today. Father, for those who are sick, Lord, I pray right now you visit their bodies with healing. Destroy each and every sick cell in their body. Restore their strength, their health. I curse chest congestions, sinus congestions. Father, stomach viruses right now. Those viruses have to die in the name of Jesus. And life and restoration back to them. And so, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them. Lord, I thank you they came out on a nasty day to be with your people. Now, Lord, go with them. Set your angels round about them, Father. Open doors for them that they may step through and see your hand working in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.